Welcome, virtual entrepreneurs, millennials on the go, and adventure seekers with big dreams. You found the right place. My name is Alexis Teichmiller, a millennial, lifestyle blogger, and digital creative. The Laptop Lifestyle is designed to inspire, educate, and challenge you to live the life you want every day. Together, let's unlock how to live the laptop lifestyle to the fullest. Hey, hey, Laptop Lifestylers. It is your host, Alexis Teichmiller here, and today I am beyond excited to bring Bethany Wilson on the Laptop Lifestyle today. She is the artist, designer, and maker and owner behind Bela Begonias. After graduating with a bachelor's degree in both photography and fashion interior merchandising, she founded Bela Begonias in 2015, following management roles with corporate retailers Restoration Hardware and Gap. Named for her beloved Labrador and the iconic Grateful Dead song, Bela Begonias features an assortment of whimsical, artistically designed, and delicately crafted jewelry and ceramics. And I will have to say, after stalking your website, Bethany, I've got my eye on a few pieces. I absolutely love your jewelry designs.
Oh, thank you.
You're so welcome. Well, welcome to the show. I would love for you to kind of share a little bit about your story and how you got into jewelry designing.
Okay, cool. So I suppose it's been a long time coming. Like you mentioned, I went to school for art and design, but when I graduated college, it never seemed realistic to me to be an artist. It didn't seem real. So I went into retail management, and I really appreciate the experiences I had. I worked in corporate America for about 10 years, and running businesses for other people has its pros and its cons. Pros for sure is learning how to run a business, and cons was feeling like I never had the control that I always sought. I've always been interested in entrepreneurship. You take those personality tests and all that, and that was always something that came up for me. So I moved to Nashville. I'm 33 now, and I moved to Nashville when I was 30, and I just kind of wanted to, kind of start over. I had been married, and I got divorced, and kind of spent some time building my life back together and really focusing on who I want to be, and so I moved to Nashville, and I worked for Restoration Hardware when I moved there, and it just never was a good fit. 4 months after I moved there, I met my now husband, who's amazing, at the Five Spot on Halloween.
We ended up the Five Spot.
Oh my gosh, I know, it's the best. We hit it off immediately, and he was really the one that inspired me to take the leap of faith. I was miserable working at Restoration Hardware, super cool, great furniture, all that, but it was not a great fit for me. So I ended up giving my 2 weeks' notice on a whim. I didn't have anything lined up, and I'd always been interested in real estate as well. So I took a job with a real estate company in East Nashville, and I worked for them for about 8 months, and I learned very quickly that wasn't a great fit either. So I was really searching for myself, and I've spent my life collecting rocks and stones and plants, and I love to travel, and I've always wanted to make jewelry. I've always purchased beads when I've gone on vacation and, gone into these little shops and stuff. So my husband started realizing you went to school for art. You have all this art stuff laying around. Like, why don't you do something with it? So he started buying me tools to make art for birthdays and Christmases, like a sewing machine or a set of jewelry making tools. So after trying a couple of different things, I finally decided okay, I'm going to do this. And I really just went for it all in, and I left out one of my career paths. Casey Hughes is a designer in Nashville, and unfortunately her store is no longer there, but she had been in business for 17 years, and I worked in their corporate office following the real estate endeavor, and there was like six of us in this office, and I really learned a ton about how to how a small business works in you know, the fashion world. I had been in all these corporations, but seeing it on the ground level like that was so inspiring. And so it was there that I really decided, like, hey, I can do this. If they can do this, I can do this. So I decided one day that I was just going to go for it, with tons of support from my husband. He believed in me way more than I did. And I finally took the leap of faith and gave my 2 weeks notice again and started Bela Begonias. Yeah.
I love that. So was, you said Casey Hughes, is that
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So was she a fashion designer, jewelry designer, or?
Fashion designer. Yeah. She designed clothing, very Ralph Lauren style. She had a store in the Hill Center over in Green Hills for a while, but.
Yeah, so I love that you kind of got both aspects of, you know, the corporate life and seeing how a large company is ran. And then you also got, on the flip side of that, you know, got your real estate license, hustled for that, and then realized that wasn't a good fit. And then you moved into the small business space too, which is completely different from the previous two career paths. So first off, congratulations for finding something that lights your soul on fire, because that's what I'm all about. And I love that Laptop Lifestylers are chasing that. And you were brave enough to jump from different career paths because you knew that they weren't what was best for you. So explain to me kind of that self-talk that you went through whenever you realized that the career path that you were in wasn't necessarily the path for you.
Oh man, there was a lot of self-talk and a lot of self-doubt too. I, you know, looking back, I wish I had honestly been more brave in the beginning just to follow my passion initially. But like I said, I'm very grateful for all the experiences I gathered, because I feel like it's helping me to do this much more seamlessly now. But yeah, it was a lot of self-talk. I mean, just really trying to talk myself out of it. Like, Bethany, you know, you have a good job, you have a secure job, it's in a field that you enjoy, just, you know. But just when something doesn't fit, it just doesn't, you know, fit. It doesn't feel good in your heart or settle your soul. So I don't know. I finally found the thing and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, the thing. It takes time to honor that though. You know, like the actual, yeah. the bravery that it takes to step up and say, okay, I'm not happy and I want to pursue something else. And honestly, let your creativity shine. And sometimes it's difficult to let your true creativity shine underneath the umbrella of somebody else. You know, like whenever right. you're working for a corporation or even a small business, you know, you're working. I love that you mentioned earlier that, you know, working for someone else's dream, you can still learn a lot, but you aren't necessarily living out your own dream. And so
it's true.
How did you transition into realizing, okay, I want to finally follow my own dream? Like, I've got this idea. I've stumbled upon, you know, or kind of rekindled this fire of art and just like natural resources, like you said, rocks and things like that, that you kind of got into jewelry making and then decided I'm going to go full time with this.
Yeah. So, like I mentioned, my husband has been a huge support system and inspiration. I honestly don't think I would have had the bravery to do it without his undying, like, just encouragement. But yeah, that first day, I remember I was so overwhelmed. You know, I didn't even know where to begin, because where do you begin? You go from working for someone and then just putting together an entire business plan. Also, I'm a self-taught jeweler. So in addition to launching a business that was not fully, you know, developed quite yet, I was also very much teaching myself how to make jewelry. So it was, I don't know. I can't believe I landed here. I'm grateful every single day, especially when I get completely overwhelmed, which I absolutely do. I'm grateful that I get to make and that I get to be my own boss, and that definitely comes with its own trials, but it's for sure worth it.
For sure. How do you overcome that overwhelm? Like, how do you kind of get out on the other side of feeling overwhelmed. And like you said, you didn't necessarily know how to make jewelry and all the right processes. So how did you kind of combat that?
Well, I have tried to be patient, which patience isn't necessarily my greatest strength. But so in learning how to make jewelry, I my goals for this year are really to build my business. So I've spent, I feel like, the last 18 months really teaching myself the skills that I feel like I need to produce a very quality product. Quality is super important to me. I want people to buy their jewelry and then have it for a lifetime. So I'm really particular about the type of metals that I use and the construction processes. And I just really want it to be something that lasts. I know I've gone to artisan fairs before and picked up something that I love, and then, you know, it either falls apart or it, I don't know, it just doesn't perform how you would want it to. So that is super important to me. So I feel like I have been restrained and patient, you know, teaching myself, A, how to make the product, B, really defining my style, because it's so easy even in that to get overwhelmed. Like, you know, there's a million things you can do, and trying to hone it in and make a cohesive collection. And then also as far as like growing my following, I've tried to be patient and wait until I feel like I'm really ready to enter and represent myself the way that I want to. So my goals for 2017 are definitely to grow my following on social media and to get into more wholesale, you know, locations and do podcasts like we're doing right now and collaborations for sure. Yeah. So
yeah, that whole space of like collaborating and building kind of that online following. Honestly, I love that you brought this up, because sometimes a lot of the guests that we have on the show, you know, have already kind of established that larger, you know, social following, but they're like still building their business, where you the last 18 months have built your business, and now you're ready to go all in on social. And I think that's a really unique strategy. And also, I think it also probably encourages a lot of our listeners, because, you know, I like that you are in the stages of growing that online kind of following, because that's really difficult to start from scratch. You know, how do you do that? Who is your ideal follower or your ideal, you know, customer? And so I think you can get really wrapped up in numbers and associate success to how many Instagram followers you have. Yes, but for you, that hasn't been the case though for you. You know, you spent the last year and a half building your business. So I think that really says something about your work too. And I love that. I honestly love you even more now because you said that.
Thanks. I mean, it's hard, you know, don't get me wrong. Like sometimes I look at, you know, someone who is inspiring to me and I'm like, God, they have like 18,000 followers or 36,000 followers or, you know, and it's how do I even get to that point? But I just keep reminding myself to wait, to be patient and to do it the right way. So I don't know. We'll see if this strategy works. I certainly hope it does.
Yeah. And patience is something that entrepreneurs in general, I think, have some struggles with, but specifically millennial entrepreneurs, because, you know, we grew up with information at our fingertips and, you know, we grew up with a lot of instant gratification methods. And so now when it comes to business, we're used to things growing really quickly, or maybe we're watching a competitor or someone else in our space grow really quickly. And then we're over here comparing ourselves and being like, why aren't we growing so quickly too? And that just plays into patience. So when did you decide that you were going to manifest patience into your life? Like you're like, right, this space, I want to be patient. How did you decide to do that? Teach me your ways.
Well, I don't know that I'm a master, but I felt like I didn't have a choice. Like I told you, I had just moved to Nashville and I didn't have a huge network there established. You know, I hadn't been living there for 10 years or I didn't go to school there. So at the same time, I was building like a community around me. And so I just felt like I honestly didn't really have that much of a choice. So I just insisted of myself, and I promise it's a constant struggle, but like right now I do feel like I'm getting to that point where I can go for it. I had to hire a first employee, which has been amazing. Also hard because it's scary to train someone and have someone.
Is that Lydia? With you.
Actually, no. Okay, so Lydia is one of my best friends. We know each other. We used to work together, and I dare I even say, but Abercrombie and Fitch stole us both right out of college. You know, they snatch up. They snatch up young ones, and if you have a college degree, that's they put hilarious. You in management. Oh, yeah. So we found each other, which is what we got out of that. But, yeah, she is she's a PR rep, and she is helping me out. But in addition to – so I'm building a team. In addition to her, I've hired a studio assistant. And I've been working out of my house, a home studio. And this week, actually, I'm moving into a artist space where there's 40 other artists, and my studio will be triple the size. So it's all happening. It's just really keeping my brain in a space where I can not, you know, where I can handle it all. And I feel like reminding myself about patience every day is just how I'm managing through that.
Yeah. And also, you can't handle it all either. Like, and I think that's something too.
And I sure do try, but I can't.
Yeah, we do try. And well, it's more of a pressure that we put on ourselves to be perfect in every area of our life. And I didn't mean that you can't do it all, because girl, you can do whatever you put your mind to. But I think there's that pressure that we also welcome into our lives whenever we do take on our own business, or we do, you know, kind of take that step or that leap or jump into the entrepreneurial journey. And like, talk to me about that pressure of, okay, I need to grow quickly. I need to make a lot of money. I need to, you know, hire a lot of employees and be, because you worked for a corporation, which I think kind of has that mentality of like, grow really quickly mm-hmm. versus a small business where it's like, you know, sometimes the goal isn't to make $3 million in 1 year. Like, sometimes right. the goal is just to make really beautiful things, make an impact on the world. And it's not about money, it's more about impact. So how do you think about that in your mind and as a business owner?
So all that stuff is super real. I do apply loads of pressure to myself. I am a perfectionist. And honestly, I've been resistant to hiring an employee because for me that felt like letting go of some control. But where I'm saying I can't do it all is I try, because, you know, I love quality. I want it all done just so. But I know that I can no longer grow if I don't start taking on help. So, but yeah, all the stuff you were saying, it's super real. Like, the list is never done. There is an endless list, and I do forget to celebrate the wins. And, you know, as soon as I get through one accomplishment, I feel like I'm running on to the next, and I do take it all on myself. And, honestly, it's so funny, you know, I went into this so that I could make art and make designs and, be an artist. And making time to make art, honestly, when you're keeping your thumb on every other aspect of all of this, is one of the biggest struggles. So I feel like, you know, having Lydia help me with reaching out to bloggers and to you and to do podcasts, it's like been a huge weight off my shoulders. And then taking on a studio assistant to just help me around the office and to help me manage my time, honestly. And and she is learning some of the designs as well. It's been huge. It's hard, but it's all great. But it's,
yeah,
for sure
you've brought up quality multiple times, and actually wrote this on your website too, that you love the phrases quality over quantity and form must follow function.
Yes.
So I'd love for you to kind of share that mentality. It's a really unique mindset, one that I appreciate a lot. And I do believe in quality over quantity as well. Share with me how that shapes your business.
Okay. Well, I suppose I love fashion and I love art and I love, eclectic things. So throughout life, you know, just if you look around my house, like I would rather have a nice pair of Fry boots than, you know, four or five pairs of a lesser quality thing. Like I just really value quality things. So when I go to make something, I absolutely want quality to be there. I depend a lot on repeat customers and by word of mouth. So it is my favorite day when I get a order from someone and they tell me, hey, my friend has this piece of yours. They love it. They wear it all the time. They speak nothing but good things about it. And now I want this thing. Like, and I've had that happen a lot. And that is the clientele that I'm going for. That makes me so happy. And then as far as form must follow function, I guess going through art school and college, you know, that became really important to me in making ceramics and I guess in making jewelry as well. That's great if something looks beautiful, but if it is not functional, then I guess maybe that's a little bit of a minimalist ideal that I have, but I don't have many things, I guess, that don't also like serve their purpose as well. I want it to be beautiful, but I also want it to serve its purpose. So I like to keep that in my design.
I appreciate that a lot. I'm actually funny. I tried minimalism. I'm still trying. I'm attempting it with purpose and intentionality. But one of my New Year's resolutions was to throw two things away a day.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever like watched the Minimalist documentary and like, have you ever read that book by, I think his name's Joshua Becker, I think is his name. But he's like the OG minimalist guy who teaches people how to become.
But yeah, that would be interesting to read. Like I do appreciate it.
Yeah, that's something like I definitely have not thrown two things away every day, but every maybe two or three weeks, I will go through and like sweep my house and sweep my closet, not physically with a vacuum, but like with my eyes. And right. I will like pick pieces that I don't wear, haven't worn for years, and I'll just, you know, donate them to Goodwill because I'm tired of clutter. And I think that speaks a lot to like, even as an entrepreneur, we clutter our calendars and we clutter our lives with all these to-dos and this pressure and so many things that we feel like we have to do, but then we don't make space for the actual creation part. Like you said,
right.
You got into this because you loved art and because you loved creating. And now when it comes down to it, you haven't been able to do as much of that as you'd like because of all the other aspects of running a business.
Right.
So how do you remind yourself, this is why I started? Like the art is why I started.
Yes. So I nearly lost my head through holiday 2016. It was the busiest I've ever been, obviously. Like, you know, I'm a relatively new business, so that was really my biggest peak season. Man, I crashed in January, so I decided that in 2017, I'm going to do it all different. So I am trying, and the changes that I have been making are taking on employees, building a team, moving to a larger space where I'm not on top of myself, and being very specific in blocking out time for myself, because my work-life balance got so out of whack, and my husband's like, hi, I'm over here and I want you to spend time with me. And it is super important. You know, if you're starting a business, it can really take over. So these are all things that I'm trying to implement this year, but to really, but if I don't make time for the design and for what I love, then, you know, I could be one of those businesses that just fizzles out. And that's the last thing in the world I want. So I'm really trying to keep a clear head and be realistic. I think being realistic is huge because I'm one of those people that does want to take it all on. So we can only accomplish so much in 24 hours.
We can. And we all have the same, you know, amount of hours in the day too. I love that you're so ambitious. Like, have you always been this ambitious, or is this something that you kind of developed in you over time, or where did this ambition come from?
Yeah, I've always been this way, and it's good and it's bad. my husband says I don't know how to relax, and so I'm working on that as well. But I am very ambitious. My father is, I don't know if I mentioned, he's an entrepreneur, and I always really looked up to him, but he instilled a lot of that stuff into me. So I've always been a go-getter.
Would you say that your father as an entrepreneur had like quite a bit of impact on your journey into entrepreneurship as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And he's given me tons of coaching and advice, and for sure he inspired a lot of the ideals that I have.
Do you think this is something that I always struggle with, is seeking out advice and seeking out, you know, wisdom from people who have done it, because I am stubborn. And so it's hard for me sometimes to ask for help and to, you know, get people to help me or to seek out advice, because sometimes my way is the best way. So have you ever experienced that?
You nailed me. Yes. I struggle with that all the time. So with all of that ambition does come stubbornness. And when I think I've got it, you know, how I want it, then there's, a goal of mine is to get much better at asking for help. And honestly, the creative community in Nashville is amazing. And Chattanooga too, it's still new to me. Like I mentioned, I think that I'm splitting my time between the two. Between Chattanooga and East Nashville. But yeah, the creative community in both is so wonderful and so open. But I am kind of shy and a little more introverted as far as like getting to really know people and going out and asking for help. Like, hey, how did you do this? But I've just started doing that this year. And it's amazing to me how willing people are to, you know, give you advice or share their story. So it's really good. But if I push myself out of my comfort zone to do it.
Yeah. And that's the thing I was actually just going to say, is that you have to be open and receptive to receiving it, but also seeking it out. And so it does take some confidence to kind of reach out and make those connections so that you can learn from others, but also get advice from others as well.
For sure. Yeah.
Also, speaking of confidence, that was actually a question I wanted to ask you. Because after reading your story on your website, like your section, about your story of how you started, the first word that popped into my mind was confident after reading that. And I want to ask you, one, how did you foster enough confidence and courage to start a business? And two, what makes you feel the most confident in your day-to-day life?
Good questions. So as far as starting a business, I'll tell you honestly, like making art and putting it out there in the world for anyone to judge or receive or hopefully buy, it's terrifying. So every time I come out with a new collection or a new line, you know, the butterflies in my stomach are just, it's doing flip-flops, and putting it out there for the world to receive is, I can't imagine that ever going away. Like, I don't know that you would be a great artist if you created something and you're like, oh yeah, everyone's just going to love this. I certainly hope that they do. But I did have a lot of confidence based on my experience as far as running a business. I felt confident about, I guess, all that I had seen in both corporate America and then on a smaller business level, and then just what I grew up around. So I guess my confidence for the actual product that I'm putting out there does come from knowing that it's quality and that it's going to last. And then I just hope that the design is well received. So when you get those likes on Instagram, and when someone stops you in the store and says, oh my God, I love your earrings, or, you know, those are definitely confidence boosters. And what was the second part of your question? Sorry.
No, it's okay. When and I guess what makes you most confident throughout your day-to-day life? Like, what is it that makes you feel confident?
Yeah. I guess just like right now, I've been testing out the new line and just all the positive feedback, and the few leaks that I've done on Instagram, I've gotten really positive feedback. And that's, of course, a confidence booster. And my husband, like I've mentioned, he is incredible and constantly encouraging me. And I have a great family and just a really good support system. So, yeah.
Yeah. What advice? Well, first off, your husband sounds amazing, and I hope I get to meet him and shake his hand because he sounds like an incredible supporter. So I love that y'all love each other enough to support each other through all things. And that was actually my next question was, can you give any advice to someone who might be listening who hasn't necessarily or doesn't necessarily have that support system? Like, how do you find that, whether it be in a significant other or whether it be in the friendships that you cultivate? How do you find people and surround yourself with people who are going to support you, especially as an entrepreneur?
Right. So I guess the advice that I was giving to myself earlier, I would give to everyone else, and that is being really just proactive about surrounding yourself with the type of people that are like you, like getting involved in the creative community and not being shy to reach out to people and talk about your art and talk about your designs or, you know, whatever business endeavor that you're wanting to experience. But especially in the areas that we live in, like it is just, it's at our fingertips. So even without him, I think that I would have had, you know, the option to have done that in Nashville. So yeah, just getting out there and talking to people.
Yeah, putting yourself out there and being willing to share verbally, but also online too. There's a really incredible online community, I think, for all creators and artists. Just like you said that you follow people that inspire you. You know, I think reaching out to people online too is really helpful because maybe if you live in a smaller town that doesn't have a creative, you know, space like Nashville does, for instance.
For sure. Yeah.
Being able to be vulnerable enough as well to connect with people online can be extremely powerful. Like I actually just met up with a girl who I'd been following online for the last like maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. And we actually just had lunch and had the most beautiful afternoon together. Her name's Jessica. And that was all because of Instagram, like solely because we commented on each other's Instagram photos and then just kind of followed each other. And then whenever I was out west, we met up. And so I think it's that too. It's not only putting yourself out there online or sorry, in person, but also online.
For sure. And honestly, that's like I mentioned, I'm a bit of an introvert. So, you know, putting myself in those situations in person is a little uncomfortable, but Instagram has been a great tool in that way. It's so much more comfortable for me to, you know, be following someone and then to have someone to talk about and to reach out to them. And Instagram is an amazing tool.
Yes, I love Instagram. Are you using, or like what other, I guess, online social platforms are you using to build your business?
That's the main one. Of course, I have a Facebook and a Twitter and a Pinterest. And then my website, of course, is where I'm driving everyone back to. But yeah, Instagram is of course, it's a focused.
Mm-hmm. We all love our Instagram.
And yeah, I love me some Gram, you know, for sure. I love that actually Instagram's coming out with new tags, like shoppable tags. So you can actually tag a product in the photo and then they can click that tag and they'll take them straight to the product on that person's website. Like it's getting so ninja.
Right.
Same with Pinterest too. So
yeah,
both two platforms to kind of like be thinking about, especially whenever you're building a physical product. How do you, just speaking of all of the crazy awesome things that you can do online, as well as you're creating, you know, this new line and how you're going to share that online. I'd love for you to kind of talk to me about your upcoming release of your new collection and what the name is and what inspired you to create it.
Yeah. Okay. So the collection will be called Lustrous, The Open Road. I love working in metal. So a lot of my looks will be, and I love hammering metal. I'm in there with my hammer all the time. Just hammering away, but I love it. And so the new collection will definitely be focused on that. And it is inspired, of course, by travel and wanderlust. And just, I like the lustrous comes, I guess, from the middle look that will be throughout the line. And then the open road, a couple of things, just obviously travel inspired. And also the jewelry that I make, and it's adventure approved. Like I told you about quality, like I want it to last. So you can put it on and leave it on and wear it, like, you know, go jump off that waterfall or go swimming in the ocean. Like, this jewelry is built to last. So Lustrous Open Road is the collection. We just did a photo shoot in Austin. We went down for South by Southwest, and I really wanted to have that, that look of, you know, a couple of looks we got down there, actually, just like in the festival scene. And then also we went out into the country and got all the cacti and the stucco walls and the craggy trees and the rocks. And I love that look. I've always been inspired by the Southwest, which Austin isn't, you know, Texas isn't exactly the Southwest, but just that vibe. So we got some great photos. I'm super excited about the release. Lydia and I have been reaching out to bloggers, and we're going to have some people help us promote the launch, and that'll be coming in middle of April. And I'm right now wrapping up all the photography, of course, you know, new business, entrepreneur, doing everything at the last minute. It's my life. But
of course.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, that is what is on the horizon. And then hopefully in May, I'm going to do another mini collection based on some raw stone rings. And I do a process called electroforming. So they'll be cased in 14 karat gold, and it's a really cool natural look. And so that's what's upcoming, and show season starts in April. So it's all coming. Very quickly.
a lot of festivals and things like that. And I also saw that your designs are also in a few physical location stores as well.
Yeah, they're in Nashville. They're at Pieces in Germantown and at House Of in Belmont, which is a collaboration with the Nashville Fashion Alliance. I'm a member with the Nashville Fashion Alliance. They're fantastic. And also a store in Chattanooga, Homegrown Silver and Stone. But that's definitely an area of focus for growth this year, is taking on wholesale accounts. So, you know, just keeping tabs on all these buckets. It is the life that we choose.
And then making sure that all of them are full. All of the buckets are full, too.
Exactly. At all times.
So, yeah. And then you're carrying all of them. On top of a mountain as you're climbing it.
Exactly. No big deal.
Yeah. Oh, I love your heart for creating and getting your work out there and just being really vulnerable with your work too. I can tell that you put a lot of heart and creativity into each piece that you create with quality. And I really admire you for that. I just think it's really incredible. I've absolutely loved hearing your story, and thank you so much for sharing and being on the show. And I'm a full supporter of you, and I can't wait to shop your designs in Nashville as well as online. Yeah. So I actually just have one more question for you. Hey. But before I ask it, I would love for you to actually share where people can find you online.
Okay, sure. So Bela Begonias is with one L instead of two. So Bela Begonias, BelaBegonias.com. And then on Instagram, it's Bela_Begonias. And the rest of them are just Bela Begonias on Facebook and Twitter. So super easy to find.
Perfect. And I'll also have all of those linked up in the show notes as well, guys. So you'll be sure to get all the links for where to follow you online. My last question for you, Bethany, is what does the laptop lifestyle mean to you?
The laptop lifestyle means to me an opportunity to be an entrepreneur, to be myself, to create art, to put it out there, and hopefully to inspire someone else to do the same.